another night full of heartache. They just don't want to let us be. Nothing left except outcast love, but it's enough for me. It's enough for me. I won't let them keep us apart. This love can't be bound by chains.
Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelsang. I'm joined by my wife, Gretchen Vogelsang.
Hello.
And we want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I saw the movie Loving, which opens broadly across the United States today, November 23rd, 2016. And it's just this beautiful movie. Loving celebrates you may be aware of this, but Loving celebrates the real-life courage and commitment of an interracial couple named Richard and Mildred Loving, who married and then spent the next 9 years fighting for the right to live as a family in their hometown, which happens to be in Virginia, which is where Gretchen and I live with our two boys. Their civil rights case, Loving versus Virginia, went all the way to the Supreme Court, which in 1967 reaffirmed the very foundation of the right to marry. And their love story has become an inspiration to couples ever since. It's from Focus Features. It's rated PG. I loved it. And Gretchen and I are going to talk a little bit about it. No spoilers at all. But, you know, Gretchen, when we were growing up, I certainly always felt like, especially living in California, that I was pretty clued in to civil rights and the civil rights movement that was going on. I did not know this story at all. Did you know this?
No. So the civil rights movement happened when I was very young.
Younger than me.
Yeah, I'm about 5 years younger than you. and so it wasn't a part of my childhood, really. But I would have learned, you know, I certainly studied the civil rights movement in schools, and I don't really recall, you know, learning about this at all.
I don't remember it at all, and I looked through some history textbooks. I didn't find it. So we're really about 50 years after this decision from the Supreme Court, and we're just now hearing a little bit about this. And we're gonna hear from Mildred Loving herself. As a matter of fact, let me just stop right here and play a little bit from Mildred Dolores Loving. She's speaking in 1967. This is the real life Mildred. And let's listen in as she's talking a little bit about this subject of how they were first discovered, what they went through, and really this change that took place very soon after they were married.
I say I think that marrying who you want to is a right that no man should have anything to do with. It's a God-given right, I think.
But I didn't realize how bad it was until we got married. The night we were arrested, I guess it was about 2 a.m. And I saw this light, you know, and I woke up and there was the policeman standing beside the bed. And he told us to get up, that we was under arrest. And anyway, they carried us to Bowling Green and locked us up. And in January, they had the trial. And they told us to leave the state for 25 years. But the way I understood it, the lawyer said that we could come back to visit, you know, when we wanted to. So that Easter, we came back and they got us again.
So it's really this fascinating story. But as I said right at the top of the introduction, civil rights is the issue around which this movie is based. But this is just a love story. And it's a powerful love story, and you get this sense that, well, and I'm going to let them tell it. I want to play another clip right from the film itself, and you do. You get this real sense that this is a love story. It's a very powerful love story. Yes, it's a civil rights movie, but more importantly than that, it is a beautiful love story. So let's listen to this clip right from the movie itself.
I want to put the kitchen right back here.
Richard, stop this. I don't know what you're saying.
I I bought it. This whole acre. I'm gonna build you a house. Right here. Our house. Would you marry me?
Wow. That is beautiful. Very moving. Well, they get married. Love wins out. And when they realize that their 1958 marriage certificate issued in Washington, D.C. is rejected in their home state, that being Virginia, they're 5 weeks into their marriage following the wedding, and in the early morning of July 11th, 1958, the newlyweds were sleeping in their house in Central Point, Virginia, when the sheriff and two deputies stormed into their bedroom, shining flashlights into the dazed couple's eyes. They're demanded, who is this woman you're sleeping with? And Mildred responds, I'm his wife. And she gestures to the marriage certificate, which hangs on the wall. And the sheriff, in all his smugness, says, that's no good here. And then he turns to Richard, who is shy and unassertive, played wonderfully by Joel Edgerton. And the sheriff is trying to shame Richard for betraying his race and violating God's law. And he says, and this is an amazing line, he says, God made a sparrow, and a robin. They're different for a reason. So we're going to listen to that scene from the film.
In here?
Richard!
You went in bed with that woman.
I'm his wife.
That's no good here.
Richard Perry Loving, being a white person, and the Mildred Jeter, being a colored person, did unlawfully cohabitate as man and wife.
Richard?
That ain't right!
Both the accused leave Caroline County in the state of Virginia at once.
Following the arrest, which they plead guilty to for violating Virginia's Racial Integrity Act, they agree to leave the state for 25 years and move on. They simply love each other and want to be married and left alone. Well, how the couple, with help from two uncanny ACLU lawyers working pro bono, managed to overturn that statute and in the process change the U.S. Constitution makes a great historic story. But Loving is the furthest thing from a tight courtroom thriller. Again, it's an intimate domestic drama about race in America and two of these profoundly apolitical people who wanted to live with the same basic rights as those enjoyed by white Americans. Like them, Loving is modest, it's quiet, it's deep. And in this next scene that I'm going to play for you right now, we hear the modest, polite, almost deferential Mildred explain that despite being right, they'll lose the small battles, but will win the big war.
You go to the Virginia State Court next, right?
Yes.
You nervous?
I suppose. The lawyers told us not to expect much.
You think you'll lose?
Well, yes. But I think it's all right. We may lose the small battles, but win the big war.
Well, in fact, the Lovings do win that big war. And that war and the battles that led up to it begin in 1963 when the Lovings are living in Washington, D.C. and at the depth of despair after one of her two sons is hit by a car in their ghetto neighborhood, Mrs. Loving writes a letter to then U.S. Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy, who then refers her case to the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union. From the film, we're going to listen as Mildred, who is played wonderfully by Rue Negga, who's watching a broadcast of Martin Luther King's 1963 March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. And she really can't imagine that this is even happening. It's got to be a world away, she says, halfway around the world. It's at that point that Mildred's landlord walks in and will hear this. And Mildred's landlord tells her, you need to write Bobby Kennedy and get you some civil rights.
Washington, D.C. has started, and it's about half of the 100,000 estimated crowd headed off down Constitution Avenue, headed towards the Lincoln Memorial, which is where we're seated now. It is here that the climax of the march will...
You boys stop that wrestling. Right now you can see... Come and help Miss Laura with her groceries.
...coming in around the plaza surrounding Lincoln Memorial. We want first to go...
They say over 100,000 people there.
Standing by along the parade route at 17th and Constitution.
Can you imagine?
Might as well be halfway around the world.
At this particular spot, we had expected the marchers to just
Nothing.
Now begin. However, some 15 minutes ago, the march got underway.
You know what you need to do?
What?
Particularly among the young people, you need to write Bobby Kennedy. Some of the groups coming in from the I'm serious. That's what they're up there for. All this talk of civil rights. You need to get you some civil rights.
Engaged in demonstrations before. In the background, you can hear some of the young people shouting. Freedom! Freedom now!
And here's the real-life attorney, Bernard Cohen, reading a portion of that letter.
We have three children and cannot afford an attorney. We wrote to the Attorney General. He suggested that we get in touch with you for advice. Please help us if you can. Hope to hear from you real soon. Yours truly, Mr. and Mrs. Richard Loving. And it was that simple letter that got us into this not-so-simple case.
Of course, the case was taken all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I want to listen, again, right from the film, as Richard is persuaded by lawyer Cohen from the ACLU, unsuccessfully, to attend the historic Supreme Court trial.
You know, Richard, it's of course up to you not to attend, but you should know the Supreme Court only hears one out of every 400 cases. It's historic.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen.
Well, is there anything you'd like me to say to them? And by them, I mean the Supreme Court justices of the United States?
Yeah. And tell the judge. Tell the judge I love my wife.
And Gretchen, you know, we just always get back to these two people loving each other and these newlyweds who were roused, really, from their sleeping home in kind of central Virginia, not too far away from where we live. That really started this movement that became, ultimately, this film. And so I wonder, as you kind of are thinking about this issue that's kind of going on today, I don't know, what do you make of the timing of the release of this film so long after when it first occurred?
Well, I'm actually shocked that this was, you know, 50 years ago, and really in my mind, not being kind of startled when you see an interracial couple really only happened like in the last decade, I think. And so, yeah, it's just kind of shocking to me that it's been so long, and I feel like, you know, our society is slipping backwards a little bit here, and so I think that makes this movie even more relevant, because I think it highlights one of many different types of struggles that race has, you know, had to endure in our country.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you think about our president, certainly our current president, Barack Obama, a white mother, a black father, had they been living in one of the states in 1961 when they were married, their marriage would have been a felony. And so this idea that we're just now coming to grips with some of this kind of over this 10-year period, as you suggest, I agree with you. I think that it is a real change. And I think we just need to have kind of this discussion and debate in our country about tolerance and about understanding each other, and that marriage equality is something that we believe in. And this movie, I think, really points that out.
You know, the thing that's really startling to me is, you know, I say, yeah, I can't believe this was 50 years ago. It seems so long. And yet, in the history of our country, it's not that long. This has been a long time coming. And so the fact that it's taken until now to address some of these things is... and to face some of the things. I think what's happening in our country is we're really facing, you know, we've kind of buried. Now things are coming up and we're actually having to face some of the ways, you know, we're having to really dig deep down and say, okay, how do we really feel about this? And we're having to face some very hard emotions, I think, as a country.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think that the film brings us to this conclusion that many of these couples, and it's not just the Lovings, but many of these couples really are struggling, and they want to claim some unique identities, and it's important to move beyond the legal side of this anti miscegenation law and statutes that has been in effect for forever, but stricken down by the Supreme Court decision. But now we need to move on from beyond that and actually embrace people as people and decide that human rights are what we need in order to really pursue happiness, regardless of color, any one of those areas.
I think, you know, deep down, no matter what race you are, everybody wants the same things. They want to be safe. They want the ability to prosper and do well. They want their children to be safe, and they want their children to have opportunities that they didn't have. It doesn't matter what race you are. Those are very, very fundamental things. And that every human being on this planet strives for. And it's just amazing to me that we can move away from those basic principles so quickly. It's just astounding.
Yeah, and so I guess, you know, just to kind of wrap up our conversation, it certainly, you know, means that there are some things that we can do. We really can learn a little bit more about people. We can understand that there are struggles. We can open up kind of a dialogue and have this conversation so that we're informing not just each other but the public about this right of Americans to freely marry people of their choice. And I think that that's a very important right that we have. And the film reveals this struggle in a very loving way. And I think that that gives it just this beauty, and it, in my opinion, is going to be an Oscar winner. It really is that powerful. I just encourage anyone who's listening to go see this. It is a beautiful film.
And when you're talking about a call to action, this is one of the things that we can do, is to see this movie. And there have been other movies that have been very poignant and very direct about the racial issues that we have faced in this country, and, you know, not burying your head in the sand. And I think to some degree we've been having our you know, burying our head in the sand, and now we're having to pull our head out and we're having to really face some things. And seeing movies like this and gaining an understanding and a perspective is one step that we can take to understand and learn more and to step up to the very hard things that need to be done in this country.
Well, that it says it beautifully. Thank you. And thanks for joining me, Gretchen. I love having you here. It's wonderful. I hope you have a nice Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Well, I'll have a great Thanksgiving. I'm going to go down and figure out how to make a gluten-free pie crust.
Okay. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks again, Gretchen. Enjoy the movie.